guests and colleagues. Interviewees were selected based on two criteria. One, their overall career success and skill in navigating complex organizational situations. And two, their understanding of the concept of multipliers and diminishers. In each interview, interviewees identified situations in which they worked for a diminisher and then answered a series of questions to explore their coping strategies and to assess the effectiveness of these strategies. Broad survey. The Wiseman Group conducted a survey of approximately 200 participants with the objective of uncovering the best strategies for dealing with diminishers, to understand why some people seem to be more easily diminished than others, and to understand if individuals who have been chronically diminished are more or less likely to become diminishers to others. The survey provided many useful insights on both effective and ineffective strategies for dealing with diminishers, as well as some of the factors that cause some people to experience a greater diminishing effect than others. The survey did not yield conclusive data on whether or not those who have been chronically diminished are more likely to lead like diminishers themselves. More data is needed to adequately address this issue. Testing of strategies. After formulating the 13 strategies outlined in Chapter 8, we invited several people who had participated in the earlier mentioned survey to test out the strategies with their diminisher bosses for a 14-day period. The goal of the 14-day challenge was to determine if the strategy could make a marked difference in the situation in just 2 weeks. We then collected information about the results of their experiment and held a conference call to review results. 5 people completed the experiments, and all 5 reported a marked, if not remarkable, change in the relationship with their diminishing colleague or with their overall happiness and outlook. My favorite was the person who chose to turn down the volume and, instead of obsessing about work, channeled his energy into experimenting with new recipes and cooking delicious meals for his wife and children each night. Not only was he happier at work and in general, but his wife was pretty thrilled too. Literature review. We scanned the existing victim literature for insights on positive coping strategies. In general, we found little crossover into the workplace setting and therefore focused on the interview and survey data to formulate the best coping strategies. Appendix B. Frequently asked questions. Question. Are people either diminishers or multipliers? Or are there people in the middle? We see the diminisher-multiplier model as a continuum, with a few people at the extremes, and most of us somewhere in between. As people have been introduced to this material, they almost always see some of the diminisher and some of the multiplier within themselves. One leader we've worked with is illustrative. He was a smart and aware individual who didn't fit the archetype of a diminisher, and yet when he read the material, he could see how he sometimes behaved in a diminishing manner. When we studied this leadership phenomenon as a contrast, we see the model as a continuum or spectrum, with the majority of us somewhere in the middle. Question. Could I be a diminisher to some people and a multiplier to others? Yes. The secret to understanding this dynamic is to better understand the assumptions that you hold about the two different people. In fact, you might even be behaving in similar ways around both, but your assumptions might cause your behavior to be construed in different ways. Question. Could I be a most-of-the-time multiplier and an occasional diminisher? Certain situations can bring out the worst in us. Most leaders, even the best ones, tend to have some diminisher tendencies that are awakened in certain situations, particularly when A, there's a crisis, B, when the stakes are high, C, when time is short, and D, when they are generally stressed. What's important is having awareness of the situations that provoke our diminishing tendencies and then finding workarounds. Rob DeLange, multiplier master practitioner, described it this way. He said, when you are leading like a multiplier by rule, you can be a diminisher by exception. Meaning, if you have built a strong foundation of trust with your team, they are likely to forgive your diminishing moment. This is especially true if you call attention to your diminishing moments, explain your reasoning, and then return to your more normal multiplier style. The real key is to string together as many multiplier moments as you can. Question. Are there times, particularly during a crisis, when diminisher leadership is called for? Yes, there are situations where there is a legitimate crisis and the leader needs to jump in and manage by fiat. But these situations don't need to be diminishing. Wise leaders can keep these situations from having a diminishing effect by doing the following. Number one, treat them like true exceptions. When a manager leads like a multiplier by rule, they can get away with operating like a diminisher by exception. Here's an illustration. While I was teaching a leadership seminar at a hospital for the Yale Medical School, several physician leaders who oversee residency programs voiced an intriguing frustration. While they wanted to give the resident physicians space and freedom to do their best work, the life and death nature of their work forced them to micromanage embark orders. They insisted that there was no room for learning or being a multiplier leader when someone is flatlining on the operating table. I agreed and asked, "What percentage of your time is spent in these situations?" They suggested it was probably 3 to 5% of their time. I acknowledged their dilemma, but suggested that the other 95% of their time might warrant a different leadership approach. Several months later, I had a similar conversation at the U.S. Navy postgraduate school with a group of officers who commanded military ships. They estimated that at most, 2 to 3% of their time dealt with life or death moments. Yes, these critical situations aren't multiplier moments, but the other 95 to 97% of the time just might be. Number two, let people know what you are doing. Instead of randomly micromanaging or dictating, let people know that you're in one of those 3 to 5% moments and need to take over. Better yet, ask for their permission. When you are done, return control to your team. Or you can let your team know the parts of the business that you need to manage very closely yourself and explain why. Tell them that you want them to step up and be big in the other parts of the business. In allowing for these exceptional situations, I would still emphasize that most situations, even extreme ones, can be viewed through either a diminisher or multiplier lens. Situations people often think call for a diminishing approach can be exactly the time to call upon the full intellectual horsepower of the people around you. When the stakes are high, when the challenges are complex and nonlinear, those may just be the times when the multiplier approach is most relevant. Question. This is great for top talent, but what about my bottom performers? While everyone has something to contribute, not everyone is contributing at the same level. Multipliers see talent less like an industrial park, a sprawling collection of near identical three-story buildings, and more like a city skyline, where buildings of varying heights and colors create a jagged, irregular profile. To multipliers, people are such skylines. They appreciate the rich diversity of intelligence and talent around them. They acknowledge that not everyone is at the same level of capability, but they believe that everyone's capability can increase. Instead of trying to bring everyone to the same level, they up-level each person, building a floor or two of capacity at a time. Here are some suggestions for leading people who appear to be low performers. Number one, start with the assumption that the person is smart and capable of being a top performer. Sometimes people need someone to expect and demand more from them. Number two, instead of asking, "Is this person smart?" ask, "In what way is this person smart?" You may not be able to turn them into your version of a top performer, but you will find out what they are brilliant at, and then can look for ways to put it to work on your top challenges. Number three, remember that low performers are often former or potential superstars who have been historically diminished by their leaders, often accidentally or through neglect. Even if you do all the right things to be a multiplier, he or she may not respond immediately because either they aren't accustomed to being given challenging work or they have learned not to trust their managers. Start small and earn their trust. Just because you are leading like a multiplier doesn't mean you won't encounter performance problems. If you have chronic low performers, take care of the situation and help them move to an environment or team where they can contribute more. Question: how do these dynamics change across cultures? The research was done in 35 companies on 4 continents. We find the multiplier way of leading and the positive impact it has to be pervasive across cultures. However, we find that in cultures with high levels of hierarchy, the diminishing impact tends to be greater, with the average diminisher receiving between 30 and 40% of people's intelligence instead of the global average of 48%. We also found that in these more hierarchical cultures, leaders need to make extra efforts and take greater precautions to establish the levels of intellectual, emotional, and organizational safety people need to fully contribute their best thinking. Mostly, remember that multipliers don't all lead in the same way. While their individual leadership practices vary, what they share is a common mindset and assumption, a belief that the people they lead are smart and will figure it out. Also, they are aware of the impact that their own intelligence and presence has on their team and actively work to create room for others to contribute. These actions may follow different forms to be culturally appropriate. Question: there are some leaders you mentioned whom you have identified as multipliers, but who are sometimes known to diminish the people they work with. How do you explain the contradiction? Yes, this was interesting to us too. Even in our original data pool, we occasionally found that some leaders were named as both a diminisher and a multiplier by different people. On closer inspection, we found this a paradox rather than a contradiction. As just one illustration, we found that some leaders had figured out how to involve their direct reports, but hadn't learned to scale their leadership up and out to the broader organization. The farther removed people were from the leader, the more diminished they felt. It was a classic case of accidental diminishing. It appears that being a multiplier to everyone takes deliberate intention and effort. A leader needs to think consciously of the people at the periphery of the organization in order to be a multiplier to them. Question: what about leaders like Steve Jobs or other iconic successful leaders who appear to have strong diminishing tendencies? Many founders and visionary leaders have a mixed bag of diminisher and multiplier traits. For many of these high-profile leaders, the news media focus on their diminishing tendencies because this story tends to be more interesting to readers. As you consider the diminisher qualities of company founders and other iconic leaders, consider the following. 1. Strong leaders, especially founders, often have diminisher characteristics, but they often have a couple of even stronger multiplier characteristics that compensate for their diminishing tendencies. 2. Top leaders, for example, CEOs, with diminisher characteristics often compensate by bringing in other leaders, for example, a president or chief operating officer, who have strong multiplier characteristics. 3. Leaders with strong diminishing tendencies might be well suited to lead organizations in stable environments, but struggle in complex changing environments. And 4. Company founders often start companies on the strength of their own ideas. Companies can grow to a certain size based on the strength of the founder's intelligence, but for a company to grow, become successful, and endure, at some point these leaders need to develop into multipliers or surround themselves with other leaders who have the multiplier effect. Question: when you say multipliers get 2 times more from their people, that seems like a really big claim. Is it really that much? Yes, the number seemed high to us at first, but for several reasons, we believe the ratio is correct. First, We asked the nominators to contrast multipliers to diminishers rather than contrast multipliers to the average manager. The 2x effect assumes a best-to-worst comparison. Second, we repeated this question to people across industry, function, and management level, and have confirmed that this ratio holds true as an average. Third, the surprisingly high difference may be the result of discretionary effort. As managers, we can observe whether someone is working at, above, or below their usual productivity level. What is harder to know is how much a person is holding back. The way people answer this question suggests that people believe they hold back a considerable amount around certain managers. We have concluded that while it is an amazing difference, multipliers really do get, on average, 2 times more than their diminisher counterparts. Question. Are multipliers more successful than diminishers? Yes, they are more successful at getting more out of people. This was amazingly consistent throughout the research. Even high-powered executives, icons in their own right, who hammered their people simply could not get as much out of people as their multiplier counterparts. We didn't study the career trajectories of diminishers and multipliers themselves, but we did study the success of the people they worked around. We found that people and their careers thrived and became more successful around multipliers than around diminishers. Question. Can everyone become a multiplier? Or are there some people who are too much of a diminisher to change? Anyone who can see their diminisher behavior can change. Anyone can be a multiplier if they're willing to shift their center of weight and look beyond themselves. There may be a few people who are so staunchly invested in their diminisher approach to leadership that they won't be able to change, but we think of them as outliers. In our work teaching and coaching, we have seen people make significant changes. For example, one leader we worked with had some strong diminisher tendencies. He worked hard to adopt a more multiplier approach to his leadership. People noticed the difference. Then, after he took a larger role at another company, he was able to start with a clean slate and a new approach. He is now seen as a multiplier and even introduced these ideas to the people in his organization. We aren't under the delusion that every diminisher will change, but we believe that the vast majority can make the shift. It begins with awareness and intent. Question. Should companies fire their diminishers? Smart companies don't have to fire every diminisher, but they should remove them from key leadership roles. If someone insists on being a diminisher, they may need to be isolated or contained where they can't do great damage. If they are removed from key leadership roles, other people's capability gets released, and the diminishers are less likely to inspire managers underneath them to adopt diminisher leadership practices. This is easier said than done. Diminishers are, by definition, smart and intimidating. The course of least resistance is to keep them in their leadership roles. But once you start to calculate the high cost of diminishers in your organization, you'll be better prepared to take action. For example, if you had a machine that was a bottleneck, causing the rest of your production line to operate at 50% capacity, you would see immediately how expensive that machine was to your operation. If you replaced that one machine, you could double the capacity and throughput of your entire production line. That is what is at stake with every diminisher you have in a key leadership role. Even if they are operating at full capacity, they operate as a bottleneck to everyone else around them. So while the answer may not be to fire every diminisher, we suggest that it's just too expensive to leave them in key leadership roles. Question. Should I even try to hand this book to a raging diminisher? Yes, drop it and run. Or perhaps you can send it from one of your other diminisher colleagues. More seriously, if you share the book from a diminisher's perspective by judging and dictating, you are likely to make them close down and continue the diminishing cycle. However, if you approach it as a multiplier and make it safe for someone to learn new ideas, you might find surprising levels of receptiveness and impact. Here are 2 multiplier strategies. Number one, focus on your own experience. You might begin by acknowledging how each of us can be an accidental diminisher at times and say something like, "This book has shown me how I sometimes diminish people without meaning to." Or you can focus on the impact it has had for you and introduce it with, "I've been working on being more of a multiplier, and I'm seeing how it is increasing performance on my team. I thought you might be interested too." Number two, focus on the upside to the organization. Most managers would be interested in doubling the capacity of their organization. You could introduce the ideas with, "I think we have more intelligence in our organization than we've been able to tap into. I think there's some things that we could do as a leadership team to raise the IQ level of our organization." Additionally, you could introduce the ideas indirectly by holding a brown bag lunch discussion or by sharing a single idea or multiplier practice. We believe that there's a way to share this material with almost anyone, but you're more likely to succeed if you approach it like a multiplier. You can't diminish people into being multipliers. Question: do I need to have all five of the multiplier disciplines to be a multiplier leader? No. A leader does not need to be brilliant at all five of the disciplines to be a multiplier and to get the multiplier effect across their team. In fact, very few of the leaders that I studied had strength in all five. Most had three or four strong disciplines. You can use the multiplier's 360-degree assessment to determine your relative highs and lows. A good development strategy is to identify your strongest discipline and get really great at it. Then make sure you don't fall into diminisher territory in any one discipline. After this, do what you can to build strength in one or two more of the multiplier disciplines. Question: if I could do one thing to get on the path of multiplier, what should it be? The one thing we would suggest you do is to ask really insightful and interesting questions that make people think. This is a practical step, and it applies across all the disciplines. For example, whether you are trying to become a liberator, a challenger, or a debate maker, asking insightful and interesting questions will get you started down the correct path. So if you're looking to build one skill, start with questions. If you want to work on one assumption, we would suggest trying, "People are smart and will figure it out." One way to do this is ask, "How is this person smart?" That one question can interrupt any tendencies to judge people in a binary fashion and can work like a fast pass into the technicolor world where multipliers live. This unabridged production of Multipliers, revised and updated, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter, was produced by Literati Audio. The director was Jeremy Wesley. Recorded at Studio Circle Recordings by Jermaine Hamilton. Executive producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2017 by Elizabeth Wiseman. Production copyright 2017 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening, and please make sure to download the PDF of Appendices C, D, and E from your audiobook provider for a list of Hall of Fame multipliers, a multipliers discussion guide, and some multipliers experiments. This audiobook was recorded in a single take. No, of course not. It just sounds that way thanks to the brilliant work of Jeremy Wesley, Jermaine Hamilton, and Ian Lehman. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.